The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. What is going on in America? We have Mike Lindell being jumped by FBI agents. When I say jumped, I don't mean they physically beat him up, but they ran up on him and decided to take his phone as an investigation, or during an investigation into his involvement, I believe, his involvement with January 6th. I could be wrong. I gotta look at this in more detail. However, they did run up on him, and it seems that the FBI is taking a liking to attack Trump supporters. Now, let me say this. I do not like to be superfluous or say things that are superfluous or exaggerate to make a point and be a part of the shock factor culture. I don't want to get on the radio and tell you all this stuff because it sounds good without verification. Now, I can say I do not know if anything the FBI has done that will do that did in the past, unless I have unequivocal evidence that I can say that it's completely biased and it's completely, you know, something that's done for political gain with no real evidence. I cannot say that. There's been some things that the FBI has done, like the Russia collusion and all that stuff, that have been proven. I think it's proven fact that the FBI, and let me just separate the two. You have leadership and you have agents. And it's the same. I believe that the FBI is probably no different than the police department. You have the police officers in the field and you have the command staff. Now, the police officers in the field are going to execute a warrant that they have been given, many of which are not even associated with the warrant, which means that they didn't write the warrant. They didn't produce an affidavit. Some of them weren't even a part of the investigation that have to execute this warrant. And so you have to say the leadership is the problem here, and people in special positions that are either taking in bad information that they know is bad, they're completely lying about information, and they're politically biased. When you talk about the agents, some of these agents that are executing these warrants, they probably have no idea what's really going on at the top of the food chain. I'm trying to give them a bone here, because when I was a police officer, the cop on the street that they asked, hey, come do containment while we do the search warrant. Hey, do you want to jump in on the search warrant? Hey, we need some guys to stand on the 2-3 corner while we do the search warrant, or whatever the case may be, if we're not utilizing SWAT. And they don't know. In good faith, they say, okay, man, must got a search warrant. I'm gonna stand over here in case the guy run around the back. I'm going to set up on the quad just in case the guy take off running, just in case there's a vehicle involved. You do your part, assuming that the people at the top are doing what's right. When I look at what happened to Mike Lindell, when I look at what's happening to Donald Trump, I look at what happened to Steve Bannon. I mean, it's only you could go so far without saying, something must be going on here. Now, there's two sides to look at this, the two ways to look at this. You can say the one side to look at it is that they've done crimes, and they're being politically biased in enforcing the crimes that they've done or investigating these particular crimes, exaggerating these things that are actually crimes, and they're taking advantage of power. The other one is that they're completely making up lies. They're completely making up lies. They're making up affidavits. They're making up information in the affidavit. They're lying and fluffing things to get information in an investigation to convince a judge that they should be able to have a search warrant. It's one of the two, ladies and gentlemen, because when I look at what happened to Trump, I said, this seems like nothing more than a misunderstanding. This seems like Trump, or at least from all the information that they have, I'm not talking about from Trump's side, I'm talking about from their side. It appears that the National Archive realized that Trump may have had more information or had more items of interest that he may not have been able or shouldn't have had access to. That's a matter of saying, hey, let's go back and revisit. Let's talk to Trump and sit down and say, hey, man, we need to go through the vault and we need to figure out if this stuff is classified or not. Maybe they could even went to the part of saying, let's secure this stuff in your safe. And then we can go to court or we can get our lawyers involved to figure out what should you be able to have and what you should not have. And then once we have that determination, in a court ruling, they say, well, you can't have this technically because it's not a part of presidential privilege or whatever you want to call it. Or you don't have declassification rights after leaving the office as the president of the United States. And then they say, okay, you have to turn these things over. Here's the date and the time where you can turn these things over. If you want the FBI to show up, we'll show up and we'll collect all the things that you provide for us. That's the courteous nature in which this should have gone about. However, they didn't. And they had no intentions to. This does not seem to be a criminal referral that he intentionally and knowingly committed a crime by accessing or having in his possession classified top secret information that he wasn't privy to. It seems like a misunderstanding. Like, is it legal or is it not legal? Is there case law? I want to say case law. I don't know if they deal with case law technically when it comes to a federal crime. But is there a precedent that has been set that has clearly established that Donald Trump shouldn't have had documents that he had? And what amount of those documents are attorney-client privilege? You know, all of these things seem to be a misunderstanding. But yet, they weaponize the FBI to do a full-throttle investigation and treat him like he's a peasant. It, to me, that's crazy. Why all of a sudden in 2022, during the midterm election, they coming after Steve Bannon, they come after Trump, they're coming after Mike Lindell. There's a few other people that I know who they've gone to, I don't know them personally, but I read that they've gone to their houses and they've approached them, questioned them by January 6th. I mean, why is all of this ramping up before the midterms? The things that they're accusing Steve Bannon of, they did that a long time ago. They did a Build a Wall campaign. This was a long time ago. But why are they waiting to even bring this up or charge him, even if he was wrong? They're waiting to the midterm election to do it. They're weaponizing, I think. I cannot prove it. But I think, based on what I observe, because I'm a reasonable, logical person, I think that they're using the FBI and federal agencies as leverage to go after their political opponents. Let me give you an example. We have a nonprofit organization, me and Candace Owens, started Blexit. Why did we get audited by the IRS? Blexit didn't raise, and it's all public record, Blexit didn't raise nowhere near the money that Black Lives Matter has raised. Why aren't they getting audited? Patrice Cullors had to step down, a co-founder of Black Lives Matter had to step down because they found out she was using donation money to buy mansions. Then they buying million-dollar properties, throwing a kid's birthday party at one of the properties, paying a baby daddy almost $1 million. Another guy who just got busted, they're suing him because they claim that he stole money from the organization. When you look at it, they got $60 million or something they can't find. Michael Brown's family, Eric Garner's family, many people who family members have died and Black Lives Matter have raised money on, they're trying to sue Black Lives Matter because they got none of the money. George Floyd's family didn't get a dime from Black Lives Matter. But they don't get audited. You know, but let me say this, because I'm not a complainer. And I got somebody calling in about Mike Lindell, and we know why they really hate Mike Lindell. I'm not a complainer. What I'm saying is that if they hit you, hit them back. If they want to play dirty, then let's play dirty. I'm just keeping it real. You want to play dirty? Then let us play dirty. You ain't gonna make a difference in this country by sitting like a coward and saying, oh, look what they done to us. Look what they done to us. When we take over the House and Senate, we investigate every single Democrat that we can possibly find. Every Democrat organization weaponized the FBI against the Democrats. How about we play fire with fire and stop being cowards and waiting for them to do something different to us? They going after Mike Lindell. They going after Trump. They going after Steve Bannon. Let's go after CNN. Let's go after Don Lemon. Let's go after these politicians. We don't need to play nice. You want to fight? Let's fight. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
You have heard and seen most of the truth behind the events of January 6th. And now you can visit Washington, D.C. on September the 24th and join J6 Solidarity in their peaceful and patriotic event that will expose the entire truth of January 6th at our nation's capital, and not just what the mainstream media has lied about. Join J6 Solidarity and their well-known guest speakers to discuss the wrongful arrest and incarceration of all the Jan 6 patriots. Hear what speakers like Salem Media's Dinesh D'Souza, Newsmax's Johnny Tobacco, Joe Altman, the host of the Conservative Daily Podcast, and Professor David Clements, and many more have to say. This peaceful event will take place on September the 24th in Washington, D.C., next to the Federal District Court. For all the details, go to our new website, the letter J, the number 6, solid.com. That's j6solid.com. Don't have your head in the sand. Learn the truth. Go to j6solid.com now. Thank you for your time, your patriotic loyalty, and as always, God bless America.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Speaking of Mike Lindell, and now everybody knows that he's under attack right now. FBI seized his cell phone, and in the statement he had made mention that his cell phone houses his hearing aids. He run his businesses off his cell phone, and they took it anyway. Apparently, he was at a fast food restaurant. FBI agents pull up on him. He asked for their ID. They presented the ID to him and said, look, we have a search warrant for your phone. Obviously, he didn't want to do it. He contacted his lawyer, and Mike Lindell, through the advice of his lawyer, he gave over his cell phone. And they had also asked him about the Colorado election and Dominion machines. And so I think that they're trying to investigate. I don't know what they're, you know, this is weird to me. I haven't seen the affidavit. I don't know what they're trying to investigate. You have a right as a private citizen for you to go after companies and do investigations on your own and also expose lies and fraud when it comes about. I got some people calling in about Mike Lindell, so I want to let them get in and talk a little bit. So if you want to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243, you could call in. Ken from California, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. What you got?
Thanks for your passion, sir. We need to save this country, that's for sure. There's a woman that was elected to run the Colorado election integrity. She was the overseer of it. She was elected by the people to do that. So she took she hired somebody to come in and take a snapshot of what was inside the Dominion machines, because Dominion said they were coming in to do what was called a trust and build. And basically, she had a cyber expert do this, take the picture of it, and she kept a record of it. And then she was part of Mike Lindell's cyber symposium. And so anyway, he has that information. Dominion came in and deleted a bunch of stuff, and they have the before and after picture, and it's one of the only election areas in the country that a woman did that. And it's basically proof that Dominion came in and just wiped everything clean and put a bunch of nonsense in there because she has the before and after pictures, and she has been helping Mike Lindell, and they have been, they've thrown her in, the FBI has raided her house, they've raided another woman's house named Sharona Bishop. The same thing they did to Trump, they were doing to them months and months ago. But they can't stand like Mike Lindell. He's a big threat to them. And thanks for your passion, because we got to save this country, sir.
100%. Ken, thank you so much for the information. I've been asleep behind the wheel on this stuff because I'm so sick of hearing about the election stolen, all this, and nothing is happening. But, you know, maybe I should be more aware of it. You know, it's frustrating because maybe they did do something illegal. You know, I don't know. Maybe they should be investigated, but they're doing it for the right reasons. You know, they have to step out on a limb and try to figure this stuff out and find ways to prevent them from stealing another election. Let me just say this real quick, and I'm going to let some other callers come in. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can go out and vote all you want. If they have access to get these machines and change the vote, count on the machines, or the machines double count certain votes and single count, half count certain votes, I mean, there ain't no way we're going to win ever again. I mean, they're just going to put whoever they want to put into power. It is a meaningful investigation. It's a meaningful, I would say, endeavor to try to figure out what's going on because nobody seems to care. The president of the United States is not doing anything. The FBI don't want to investigate what Dominion has done. So they want to go after people who are standing up for truth. And that's what I think has happened. You know, let me just tell you something. In this country, in this world, there's a concept called martyrdom. That means you're a martyr. You know, martyrs don't get killed and die for a cause and then complain about getting killed. They knew what was going to happen to them, but they did it anyway. It's kind of like Jesus. People aren't sitting around. I mean, some people may be sitting around thinking like, oh, man, they shouldn't have killed Jesus, whatever the case may be. And it's like, well, Jesus died for a specific purpose. All of the apostles were killed. We disagree with that. However, they die for a purpose. If you are going to come against the government, you're going to come against the Pharisees, and you're going to call them out, you are going to be killed. And they stood up for what was right. The same thing with Stephen, who was stoned to death. Same thing with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was doing what he was supposed to do, ended up getting put away in jail and getting beheaded. But I'm not saying that you should be upset that that happened. But what I'm saying, as a martyr, you know that it's going to happen and you do it anyway. You like January 6th, there's nobody on planet Earth that would think that people on January 6th wouldn't go to jail. You can't go into the Capitol building. I don't care what your grievance is. You can't go into the Capitol building. However, I think that the people who went out there and believed that they were going to stop a fraudulent election, when you look at that, you say, well, I see why you did it. You're going to go to jail, but I see what your efforts were. I don't blame you for doing it. That's kind of the difference between people going like, oh, man, they had no business arresting these people at January 6th. Some people, they didn't. I'm not going to lie. Some people, I mean, it's trespassing. They literally got let in. But there were some people who forcibly broke through police officers and barriers and stuff and made their way in. That's knowing and intentionally breaching a public facility. You're going to go to jail over there. But the question is, what are you fighting for? And is it worth going to jail? Same thing with Martin Luther King. You know, what people are going to say, Martin Luther King, well, it was against the law for them to do what they did. So we knew they were going to go to jail. But they fought for a good reason, and they were martyrs for the cause. So a lot of people, you know, get kind of confused with that. If you're going to go out there and you're going to do it, if you're going to go out there and you're going to take photographs of Dominion machines, and you're going to do all that, some of that stuff may be against the law, you're going to go to jail. But are you doing it for the right reasons? And will people support you because you are standing up for what's right, even in the face of going to jail or even breaking the law? I'm not a proponent of breaking the law, but I understand why some of these people are risking it to save our democracy, or I say our democracy, our constitutional republic. Hold the phone, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
This is The Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America. The cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vodi Bakum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Mike Lindell. You know, I was at an event with Mike Lindell not too long ago. I didn't really, you know, try to take a picture or nothing with him because I'm not a groupie type person. But I do respect the fact that Mike Lindell is putting his neck out there and at least trying to figure out what's going on, using his own money to figure out what's going on. Now, I know a lot of y'all have been a tremendous support in the endeavors, because then my pillows are flying off the shelf. And I'll say this, they're very good quality. Let me get to some of the callers who are calling in. I'll make sure I don't double answer somebody. Let's see, Mark from Stockton, California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Officer Tatum. I have the privilege of being a first day caller. And thank you for what you've done in between. Noting your concern about the effects on Mike Lindell, it's my understanding that the FBI has the capability of cloning, quote-unquote, a cell phone just within a few minutes. I mean, they get a total picture of it, everything that's on it. So by seizing the phone, I believe that that's more support of something that you, in your opening statement on the show, that you're a little uncertain about intimidation, harassment, and inconvenience, and just to put the fear into everybody about it.
Yeah, you know, let me just say this. I want to add to that, Mark, and thank you for the comments. I want to add this. I was a part of investigations. I know what our forensic lab can do. You cannot delete material off of your phone. I think people think you can, but you cannot. So if you are on your phone and the police want to get to you and you start trying to delete stuff, it doesn't matter, because on your cell phone, there's a script that rewrites script, and it just continues to write over a script. It doesn't delete it. It just writes over it. And so what happens within the forensic lab is they could take your cell phone, they could forensically download your cell phone, and it'll extract every single thing you've ever done on your cell phone. That stuff does not get deleted. It just get rewritten over, and the presentation to you is that it's no longer there. But they have a way to extract that content from your phone. And I'll say this, you know, I don't think Mike Lindell is a tremendous threat. I don't think Donald Trump is a threat. They could have simply came to them and say, hey, this is what we want to do. Come and meet us at this place and turn your phone in. So give you enough time to get some information, write down some things that you may need from your phone. But we're going to have to investigate and use your phone. They know he can't delete anything. Then there's cloud things or whatever you can try to figure out. They can go back and look at all of that stuff. And if you are uncooperative or whatever the case may be, they can notate that you are being uncooperative. But to show up on you and grab your phone, you know, that's not going to be the totality of the investigation. They're probably pinging his phone. But do you think Mike Lindell only used one phone? Okay. I highly doubt it. I don't even use one phone. So, you know, I just think that it's very suspicious that they're doing this. I got one more caller. 1 minute. Gary from San Francisco, California.
Is he the legitimate?
Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. I only got 1 minute, Gary.
Yeah,
you got to be quick.
Good. I'll make it really quick. First of all, the way they cheated was by taking all the no-shows, pre-signing the envelope, and throwing the envelopes away so you can't audit the signatures. I don't see any state laws changing. I'm really worried, because if you don't change that, it's going to happen again. And the second thing I wanted to mention is four of my nieces, I think you're great, by the way, four of my nieces are half African-American. My sister, everybody in my family is going to vote for Trump except for my sister. I've been trying to tell her BLM was a fraud, that the best interests of her grandchildren are, you know, obviously going to be not with the Democratic Party. I've been trying to get her to listen to you. But it's I don't know. I don't understand this entrance to new ideas and to the fact who ruined the schools, who ruined the criminal justice.
Right.
Who ruined
Gary,
the safety.
Gary, I got to run to the break, man. I love you. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. This R. Kelly thing, I'm just reading it in the break, and it's just weird to me. I mean, maybe I should be thanking God and saying, God, thank you that I have my right mind. I don't know why a man would want to mess with young girls like that. That man could have any woman in the world. There are grown women that look young. Why don't you get a grown woman that look young? Dress her up or whatever. Why are you going to mess with kids? And it says that he was, I lost count of how many counts of crimes he's being charged with. They just piling it on, and I don't blame them. It says 55-year-old R. Kelly faces 13 total charges, including obstructing justice by paying off a minor victim and witnesses in a Chicago case filed in 2002, producing and receiving child pornography and coercing minors into engaging in illegal sexual activity. Now, you know, I'm maybe a little more sinister when it comes to some of these things, because I 100% believe he should go to prison. But I also feel like that we need to, these parents, because if your kid is 14, it says right here, it says this girl named Jane said that she was 14 at the time that she was recorded having sex with R. Kelly. What is your 14-year-old doing with a grown man? What is your 14-year-old doing with a grown man? Your 14-year-old don't even have a car. How is she somewhere with R. Kelly making sex tapes? I mean, dang, what about the parents? And then we was looking at the surviving R. Kelly, and these people acting like they victims, and they take their kids over this fool house. Some of these parents was making love to his music, and you gonna take your kids over his house? What do you think gonna happen? You think he? I can't handle it. Grown women, I get it, but kids, your parents need to be held responsible as well as him. He needs to go to prison, and they need to go and do a deep dive investigation to figure out where is this 14-year-old parents at? Why is she having sex tapes with a grown man? Where are all these minors that are getting trafficked into child pornography? Where are their parents at? It baffles me that we live in a time where kids can even be subject to this stuff. Yeah, he's a predator, but how does he get the prey? And I have to say this, because people are too soft to tell the truth, to be fair about it all. Some of these people's parents were doing this for favors, for fame, and for money from R. Kelly. They were literally subjugating their children to this guy and letting them, and knowing that they're having sex with this guy, because R. Kelly was probably giving them some money, or they had access to R. Kelly. I almost guarantee you. And we just heard Candace Owens came out with a video just recently exposing Ray J and Kim Kardashian, that the Kardashian family signed a contract allowing that sex tape with her and Ray J to come out to make money. You can't make this stuff up. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I guess that the QAnon people have been resurrected. And it's funny that they call everything far right. It's just weird to me. Like they said that Project Veritas and James O'Keefe is far right. I can't stand these people, y'all. I can't stand them. I can't stand the rhetoric. Far right. I guess I'm considered far right. How far is far right? Because if we're far right, then what they call neo-Nazis and racists that they claim that are in our party? How far right are they then? It's weird to me. Every time they say something's far right, it's stupid to me. Anyway, QAnon, I will never follow another thing that QAnon has said. Simply because it just wasn't consistent. You know, when you come out on a limb and you say, you know, Donald Trump will be back in office and nothing nowhere near that happens, you got to realize that something ain't right. So, I don't know her name. I can't think of it right now. I should be better at this. I don't know. Maybe I smoked too much weed when I was a kid. But the young lady, huge pro-life advocate, was on Dr. Phil's show. It was literally a gang up on her. And she was talking about abortions. Now, you know, I think that I don't understand, unless you are a simp or you are a coward, I don't understand why people are acting like there's no consensus as to when life starts. I don't even know what to say. You must be a coward. Even if you're a scientist, I don't care where you are. You are a coward if you act like that. We don't know when life starts. What do you mean? When something starts growing, that unobstructed, if it's unobstructed, it's going to grow into a human being. So when that thing starts to move, that's a life. Now, if you don't value it until it's at a certain point, that's a different story. But conception is when life starts. I don't understand why we're even talking about that today in 2022. But it's these people who are cowards, soft. They don't want to make a decision. They don't want to make women mad. They want to be friendly. And I want to meet you in the middle on these things, guys. No. Life starts at conception, not your perception. And if you don't want the baby, then stop bumping and grinding and pumping and sweating. It's really that simple. And there's another music video. I forgot to send it to my people to play it. Well, we can play it anyway because we would have to blur out every other word. There's this black woman who made a music video about abortions at Planned Parenthood. She's twerking in front of Planned Parenthood. And she's celebrating abortions. And one part of her song, she was saying, murder, murder, murder on my mind. I'm not understanding where we then came as a country. Now, when I was young, when I was a young man and I wasn't saved, I was believing the lie, ladies and gentlemen. I was believing the lie. The lie of, it's just a clump of cells. There's nothing really going on there. You know, whatever. It's not a big deal. And they're brainwashing young children to grow up to believe that because they've never been confronted with the reality of what an abortion really is. And so, yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, they have an abortion. That's fine. Oh, you know, that's cool. I mean, ain't nothing but a clump of cells, right? No, that's not right. I don't know who told you that. The reason that they have to perform an abortion is because they have to kill the baby, because if they don't, it's going to be it's going to grow up and be a human just like you, an adult human just like you. That's why they have to kill it. If it was just a clump of cells, then it wouldn't be growing. They wouldn't have to terminate it. You know, all of these different things are just... But she went on there and she dogged them out every which way. And they were jumping on her. They were teaming up on her. Some freak in the audience who probably had 6 abortions because she nasty and don't want to make no different decisions is arguing with her about the fact that she has no empathy. And I have the clip right here. Yeah, I met her before. It's Lila Rose. I met her before. She wrote a really good book about being pro-life. She's like the top pro-life activist that there is. But, you know, it just bothers me that we just can't be genuine. We can't say abortion is murder, but I'm okay with murdering a baby. Like, just say that. You don't have to lie. We don't have to make up all these fake terms and do all of these shenanigans. Just say that life starts at conception, not your perception. And just say, I'm okay with murdering my baby because I believe my life is more important than my child's life. Just, if you say that, I will respect you more. I may disagree with you, but I respect you because at least you're keeping it real. Quit lying to yourself and acting like it ain't murder. Even if you did it, even if there's somebody listening right now that had an abortion, you probably regret it. That's fine. God can forgive you for anything. Ask God for forgiveness and repent. It's really that simple. And you can go on and God will forget about your sin and toss it into the sea of forgetfulness. I may be saying that whole thing wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. But why do we have to lie? Why do we have to celebrate slut culture? And people probably get mad at me for saying that, but I'm just saying, why don't we teach our young women to save themselves? And why don't we teach our young women to not be promiscuous? Because women actually hold the key to sexual involvement. They do, unless you're getting raped. And you look at how much sex is going on, rape is probably less than 1% of sex that's voluntarily being undertaken. But the women are the ones who say yes or no. Men will hump anything. Women are saying, yeah, you can hump me or no. And they got to accept it or go to prison if they try to do anything other than accepting it. And I just wish that we would raise our young women and raise them to say, honor your body. Honor your celibacy. You are more valuable the less you expose yourself to other men. Today, there's somebody listening right now that's mad because they were out there smashing and dashing and their body count I was going to say something else. Let me leave it alone. But you out there and you had all this fun in college and you're dragging your body through the mud and letting every man that you know be involved intimately with you. And then you now because you've been involved in that, you think it's okay. No, that's not what we should be teaching our young women. Because at the end of the day, if people be honest, that affects your relationships later on. If your man is dating you and he realized that you've been with 100, 200 dudes, he may not say it to your face, but that is not a good thing. Because late night when he sleep, he thinking about you and all these other dudes. Now, you may not think he is, but he is. You don't need to have that a part of your life. Same thing with young men. I'm going to tell my sons, and now when they get grown, I ain't going to be able to control them. But I'm going to raise them to say, listen, son, you are a valuable individual. Do not give yourself to many people. You wait until you're married. Don't waste your time with intimacy with people you're not marrying. This is the things that we should be teaching in school. When you talk about sex education, they should be teaching kids to be celibate. They shouldn't even be talking about contraceptive. They shouldn't even be talking about safe sex. They should be talking about no sex. But see, I believe people were probably less involved sexually than they are today with the advent of pornography and the accessibility and them teaching about sex in school. You see more young people probably thinking about sex that never thought about sex in generations before. Were they doing it? Yeah, they probably were, but they weren't doing it to the point that they doing it today, y'all. There's a statistic that I heard out there that I think the average age of boys getting, I don't know if it's an average age, but it's a large portion of young boys getting exposed to pornography around 8 years old. You know how young you have to be at eight? I mean, an 8 year old looking at pornography. And hey, when I was young, I was sneaking it too. I was waiting till my dad and them go to sleep. And I used to try to go to them little channels. My little cousin, them were real bad. Back in the day, they had DVDs and stuff. And he'd go up under my uncle's bed. I used to go in my uncle's bed when he leave and try to get the DVDs and try to watch them while they gone. Yeah, we were out there cutting up. So I know kids are cutting up. But we need to protect our children and set them up for success. And then we wouldn't have a conversation about abortions because more young people will value themselves, value their purity, and they will understand the value of life. And if we keep passing the buck and we keep hoping the next generation to figure it out, hoping somebody else to talk to your kids and hoping somebody else to talk to these young people about it, we're going to never get anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I know your feelings are hurt right now, but we got to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. I'll talk to you guys in the next segment. Hold the phone.
This is The Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Mike Lindell is under attack. I think it's unjustified if you ask me. They're going after all the Trump supporters because we're kicking their ashy elbows. And they want to retaliate. But this is our way to fight back. Shout out to the Forgotten Man, my producer. He sent me some facts because I read so much stuff that I draw from stuff that I've read years ago. But my producer gonna make sure I'm right. So the average age of boys being exposed to pornography, it says the average age of first exposure was 13 years old, with the youngest exposure being 5 years old. And the latest exposure to pornography being 26 years old. So most people have been exposed to pornography at least by the age of 26. It says that more men indicated their first exposure was accidentally, 43% of them. And the intentionally was 33%, and forcibly was 17%. And the information comes from a study done by the American Psychology Association. So if you want to go look it up and fact check me, American Psychology Association, with the facts. But, you know, that I was close. I was pretty close. I said 8. So the difference between the 13 and the 5-year-old is probably right around 8. And that's pretty young to get exposed to pornography. You're talking about a 5-year-old is not even hit puberty. 13-year-olds haven't even hit puberty, I don't believe. That you know, how are you being exposed to pornography? And, you know, I honestly believe that pornography should be illegal. In the United States of America, it should be illegal. Why is that not illegal? You know, I mean, you talk about all the abuse that goes on in pornography, all the damage that is done. They make all kind of other stuff illegal, but they can't make pornography illegal? I don't understand that. If pornography can be legal, then smoking crack should be legal. I mean, you act like people aren't getting damaged having sex on camera for money. Whether it's psychologically, whether it's abuse, whether it's rape, I mean, all the kind of you think most of the women are waking up one day and saying, you know what, I want to do pornography, I want to go off and put myself on camera in front of everybody for everybody to see in perpetuity. These are people who are hurt. These are people who have been abused. It's just supporting a lifestyle that is not conducive for psychological help. I got some more statistics here. Pornography amongst teens. The largest consumers of internet pornography are between the age of 12 and 17. That's my son's age, 12. 12 and 17 years old. 18% come across pornography weekly or more, even when they're not seeking it. 80% of 15 to 17-year-olds have been exposed to hardcore pornography. 85% of teens and young adults who have viewed porn did so online. 37% of teens actively seek out pornography once a week. 70% of boys and 23% of girls have sent 30 plus minutes viewing online pornography. 70% of boys and 23% of girls. 71% of teens hide online behavior from their parents. 71%. 32% of teens say all or most of their friends regularly look at pornography. Teens. Now, why am I saying these stats? Because not y'all, because y'all all perfect. I'm talking about some other people that are watching somebody else's or listening to somebody else on the radio. This is who I'm talking to. Your kids, quit acting like you somehow they innocent. Your kids are looking at pornography. My son, for I forget how old he was. He must have been like 9. And I should have sued Verizon over this. I gave him a phone so he can call me because, you know, me and his mom live in two different states and we got to go back and forth. So when he was at her, I buy his phone so he can call me on it. I can communicate with him. I bought the parent plan. That means that no one can contact that phone except the people's numbers that I put into the system. He can't receive text. He can't go on the internet. Every app have to be approved by me. And I have the app on my phone. It's supposed to be foolproof. Mind you, I get a phone call from his mom saying that some kid sent him pornography on that phone. And the way they did it, and I said this a long time ago when I first did my show, but the way they did it was they had TikTok videos. And they got the TikTok video that's a funny, cool, kid-friendly video, but at the end it transitioned to pornography. Male pornography is what was supposed to be on that video that my son was exposed to. And it happened to be a kid in his class, and they were both like 9 years old. I mean, think about that. Your kid may be innocent, but other kids, even in these parental restrictive situations, may still expose your child to pornography. And so what did I do? I called the mama. Guess what the mama did? She can't speak English. She couldn't even understand what I was saying. Your boy out here tripping. You need to go and check on your son. But see, what happens is mama can't speak English because they're too lazy or whatever the case may be to learn English. But the kids go to a school and they're taught English. Mama can't come up to the school and communicate with the teachers. She don't know what the teachers are saying. She don't know how a kid is doing in school. She can't communicate with nobody. The kid knows English. She don't know English. The kid goes off and lives an entire different life. He come home. She don't know what's going on. I don't know where his daddy was at because I wanted to talk to him on the phone. And I'm not acting like my son is just completely innocent. But clearly the information came from another kid at the school sharing pornography on TikTok. And 1 minute left, what I want to tell the parents is that your kids have no business being on TikTok, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook until they're 18 years old. They have no business being on those social media sites. And people probably think, I mean, your kids are getting groomed, pedophiles are attacking your kids, they're acting like they're other kids, and they're messaging your children, and you think that you're seeing everything that they're doing, and you're not. Snapchat as well. My son tried to sneak Snapchat and everything. I called him on the phone. Oh, now you ain't going to be Snapchatting in this house. You're going to get your neck broke. People need to take care of their kids, and you need to be paying attention to your doggone children so they don't grow up and be R. Kelly's. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Break yourself, boo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. Go to my website, theofficertatum.com. In the break, we were talking about the Little Mermaid. So y'all know they made the Little Mermaid black. I can't wait to make this video on my YouTube channel. They made the Little Mermaid black. Why does Little Mermaid have to be black? Why can't you just make another character or another cartoon? Why do you need to change the character to a black girl? I don't understand. So what do? In the spirit of virtue signaling, they make a little trailer, and then there's a trend right now that shows the kid, it shows the mermaid swimming, and then when she come out of the water, she pop up, and obviously she's brown. And these parents are recording and brainwashing their children, the next generation of idiots they're pushing out into the world. They say, wow, Little Mermaid looks like me. So what about the mixed kids? Little Mermaid don't look like you. She darker than you. What about the albinos? The albino kids ain't black. They maybe come from black parents, but they white. My cousin albino, he came. He got to wear sunglasses. He can't go outside without burning his eyes. He like a vampire. He don't look like me. His skin ain't brown. He look like the original mermaid. What are y'all even saying? I can't believe grown people are this stupid in America. He looked like me. When I was a kid and I watched cartoons, I ain't never thought about the color of somebody's skin in a cartoon. When I was looking at Aladdin and Arabian Nights and Arabian Day, I ain't never thought about color of nobody's skin. I just remember Aladdin, and I remember the genie used to come out the thing. I was having a good time. They were floating on carpets and all kind of stuff. And none of it was real. I just liked the cartoon. It gave me a cool feeling. All the other stuff that come out. What about Gumby? I used to watch Gumby. He was green or whatever, blue or something. Who's saying Gumby looks just like Gumby looks just like me? Shut up, people. These people ain't even, they're VeggieTales. We used to watch VeggieTales growing up. The little VeggieTales don't—they look like my vegetables. Like, what are you? They ain't even real. People are stupid today. They can't. They gotta be racist. You know, we talk about racism in America. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe racism is the most prevalent it has ever been in our country, and most of those people are people of color who are racist. I'm telling you, I go around white people, and maybe they're afraid to be racist in front of me. I hardly ever see anybody that I even remotely think is a racist. They don't seem to be worried about that stuff. I went to get a little drink from the place today, give them a little protein shake. Man, them white people in there ain't never had a problem with Mr. Tatum. Sir, what's your number? You actually have a free milkshake today. You want to take advantage of that milkshake? All right, come on, give me the free milkshake. Ain't nobody in there thinking about me being black or them being white and... I ain't never in my life went to a restaurant and had somebody not serve me because I'm black. Now, I know I be around, when I'm around black people, they say some of the most racist stuff I've ever heard. And maybe if I was white people would say racist stuff around me. I don't know, but I just only can tell you my experiences. I was just at a situation not too long ago where it was a family situation where the men of the family was going to give some man juice to a younger man in the family. Meaning, if you where I'm from, it means that you're just riling them up, you're giving them confidence, and all the men, you know, kind of get you riled up, get your man juice going. Now, during this scenario, one of the people said, "Them white folks don't care about you." White folks don't care about you. And I'm like, what does this got to do with motivation, my man? Why do we got to bust out with the white man? I can't believe it. I was sitting there thinking like, I thought I was away from politics. And now somebody just said the white man don't care about you as a means of motivating this young man. I mean, I just have heard so much of it. I mean, you look at these scenarios. There was an article that I was supposed to read yesterday, and I hate trying to read stuff right off the cuff, but it says woke Department of Defense equity chief writes anti-white post, and in the quote it says exhausted with these white folks is what the quote says, and it says the chief diversity equity and inclusion officer, which you already know he ain't worth a dime. If you talking about diversity equity and inclusion, that's not even a real thing. Officer of the Department of Defense Education Wing, who described himself as a woke administrator, wrote in a series of disparaging posts about white people on Twitter, according to Fox News Digital. It says, I think is Kalissa Wing is the DEI chief at Department of Defense Education, which provides K-12 education to the DOD community in the United States of America and all over the world. After Fox News Digital reached out for comment, Wing's tweets or Twitter was put on private, but she did not immediately respond. I guarantee Wing's ain't white. I mean, you can go. Let's go down the list, man. is you can just openly be racist if you black. So maybe I'm wrong. I'm just thinking about the white man. I don't think the white man is racist, as racist as they say he is. Maybe the black man is. Maybe the Hispanic is. And I'm not talking about y'all that's listening because y'all are perfect. I'm talking about somebody else. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got the phone lines off the hook. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. As long as you're on topic, I can take your call. If not, I'll save it for the end. I do want to talk to everybody that's on this list because you guys have a lot of great things to say. But people who disagree with me, I like to bring them on ahead of the bunch. I think I see a disagreeer. Albert from California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Yes, hello. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. You said you don't think I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think I'm really perplexed about you making a point about a young black girl seeing the normally white mermaid as a person of color. She don't make that decision, nor her parents. Somebody at Pixar, Disney, whoever makes the movie.
No, but my point is that the parents should not be endorsing that type of stuff. It doesn't matter what Disney does. What it matters is that you got your kid in front of the television and you are feeding them in their mind that it makes sense to be excited that a character is black.
No. Okay, she's a child, impressionable. Yeah, you tell your kid, oh, that's a caricature, and that's all that does is for that child is, oh, she looks like me. The parents didn't make that decision, you know. I don't know where it went from there, but you know, as a kid, I'm 72 years old. I watched the Three Stooges. I know in my world, you can't hit nobody in the eye with a pickaxe, hit no side head with a ball peen hammer, and nothing happens to the body. There's nothing wrong with that child. Again, Disney or Pixar put that mermaid on that television or movie. The kid just acted like a kid.
Albert, I think you're missing the point. I'm not mad at the kids. It's the parents.
I mean,
let's be reasonable. I know it's not the kids. I got children myself. They're children. The point that I'm making is that mama put the kid in front of the TV. They staged it. They put the kid in front of the TV. They're filming the kid for TikTok. They're filming these kids on TikTok, and they let the character pop up on the screen, and then they're showing their kids, and the kids has a reaction, and they're like, see, look at the kids are excited about the character being black, and they're sharing it all online, and they're making it a thing. I think that's as horrible to teach your kids to focus on race.
Well, then how you call that focusing on race? That's a child because, that's liking, wait a minute. There's a kid, white kid, black kid. White kid wants to be like his black buddy. I want to be like him. So mama gives him a shirt and give him a short haircut. That ain't teaching anybody to be racist like nobody. These are children reacting to childish things.
And if a white kid did that, would that be okay? No, if a white kid did that, do you think that would be okay?
If a white kid did what?
If they see a white person on a thing and they say, oh, my God, mama, he's white. Looks just like me.
And what's wrong with that? I don't see a thing.
I think parents should not be exploiting their children and putting them up to doing things like this because there's an agenda.
Brother, that ain't exploiting the kid. That's a parent sharing a reaction from their kid. I just saw on TV today, kids go to school, comes home and tells his mama, hey, mama, that sandwich wasn't it. He didn't like the sandwich. That's just sharing something, man. You're making something racial, which is not racial.
I disagree with you, Albert. I disagree with you. Okay, I disagree with you.
Let's go to another further. You talking about in America, racism. A lot of times black people aren't racist. We just don't like what the racists do. I ain't got to like you. You know, I can say you're a Republican. I don't like you for your views. That don't make me racist.
No, and just like if a white person look at you and say they don't like you because you're a Democrat, that don't make them a racist, right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
You know, but you know, we live in a racist society.
I doubt it.
I think you made a point about, pardon me?
I said I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
Well, we live in a,
Do you experience racism on a day-to-day basis today? Do you experience racism today on a day-to-day basis?
No, I don't. But you can say other people don't.
Well,
other
it's rare. I don't know a person that does. Do you know a person that does?
Okay, let's go. Let's go back. Back to the 1960s and 70s.
Okay, you got to go all the way back. I'm talking about today. You said we live in a racist society today.
Hey. Yeah, we live in a racist society today. In which 1969, George Atchison said, NFL, everything up in the middle of the NFL were for white players. The safety, the quarterback, the free safety. Brothers could not, they ain't smart enough to be a quarterback. They can't call signals like from the center. They can't call signals from the middle linebacker. And they had him in the free safety because they call signals. That's racist America. And some of that stuff is still alive today.
And they paying them $100 million. The top paid safety in the nation is a black man.
Excuse me. It ain't about money. That's the problem. We as a people have come a mighty long way. And we didn't do it by ourselves. There's a lot of good white folks made it happen for us. But for you to say that things don't exist that are, that's wrong.
I didn't say that. Albert, thank you so much for the call. I could argue with you all day, but thank you so much for the call. Let me just preface this real quick. I didn't say there's nobody on planet Earth that's racist. I didn't say that there's nobody in America that's racist. I'm saying it's not prevalent. The gentleman just said he's 70-something years old. He just said he don't experience racism on a day-to-day basis. And I said, do you know anybody that do? I mean, he had to go back to the 60s and the 50s. And, you know, it's like, and then when you go back there, you're talking about instances of racism. You it's funny because people go to the 60s and they make these things up. But let's go to the 1900s. Let's go to the early 1900s. When Madam C.J. Walker, Sarah Bree Love, who was the first woman in history to be a millionaire. History. Out of white, black, whatever color. Madam C.J. Walker was the first millionaire female in the history of this country in the early 1900s. Like, where was the racism then? I'm just saying, who was buying a product? Just black people? I doubt it. How was Madam C.J. Walker able to, get that much success and financial stability? Look at Booker T. Washington. Established the Tuskegee Institute. I mean, look at the things that black people were doing in the 20s and 30s. Look at what black people were able to accomplish. Harlem. Black Harlem exploded. Black people were highly successful. Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 20s. Black people were highly successful. But somehow, some way, we think the country is more racist now than it was then. If the country before the Civil Rights Movement, before the Civil Rights Act was passed, black people were doing just fine, if you ask me. And then there was instances of segregation, but that doesn't mean that black people wasn't still doing well in segregation. They had their own stuff. But the problem that occurred was that black people, some black people, Martin Luther King and others, wanted white folks to share. And what happened? When they started integrating into the schools, they shut the black schools down, and the black teachers couldn't get jobs at the other schools they were integrating into. We got HBCUs. We don't take care of our own schools. We don't take care of our HBCUs. They're not funded properly. These multimillionaire black people that become rich, they don't do nothing for the, not all of them, but in a large part, they're not doing nothing for the HBCUs. Top athletes in the nation. They don't go play football and play basketball at the HBCU. We're controlling our own destiny. Racism, to me, I have never experienced real racism. I have never experienced it. And my grandmother watched the movie Uncle Tom Warner. She said she agreed with it. My grandmother, she was born in the 40s. Joyce that called in, I call her my grandma. Joyce that called in, Joyce is 80 years old. She agreed with what I'm saying. And I'm not saying just because you agree with me to make you right, but I think that I'm on to something. And I don't have anything against Albert. I think he has a perspective. But I don't think that you should be teaching kids, oh, they look just like me. Oh, they brown just like me. What does that mean in your kid's mind? That means that they're conscious that the person is white and now that the person is black. Well, what does that do for you? Now, the parents will follow up and say, look, we come a long way. Look, we got characters that are black. That does not matter. You should not be talking to your kids about stuff like that. You shouldn't be celebrating that. Because it actually means nothing for you. What they're doing is they're throwing you a bone. This is the problem with black America, in my opinion, to some degree. Oh, we got characters that are black. The person who owned Disney ain't black. Who making money off of this film? It ain't no black people. So them throwing you a bone make you happy and you celebrating and you got your kids reacting, but you ain't got no wealth. You're not generating any wealth. You should be trying to focus on making a cartoon that black people make. But you know, but no, you want to be with the, you want to take the white man cartoon. If you want to put it that way, you want to be in the white people cartoons instead of making your own cartoons. It's the same thing that happened with Martin Luther King. You want to go to the white man's school instead of making your school good. All right. I'm only talking to people that want to be all in their feelings about what white people are doing. Anyway, hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Common sense in an uncommon way. Act like you know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I know there was something I was going to say, and I totally forgot it. Anyway, let me move on. What are you going to say, Sean? The quarterbacks. Yes, that's what it was. Thank you. So, the gentleman that called in, Albert, I have much respect for him. I don't have any disrespect for anybody that's willing to call in and listen to my show. So, but to talk about the NFL quarterbacks, let me just say this. You know, it's very weird to me that, like, the speed in which society changes, people go back and judge society on the principles and ideas that we have today. Back when black folks and white folks weren't even integrated in the same society together, the myths that black people were uneducated, some were uneducated. It's funny because people say, oh, the white man thought black people weren't uneducated. And then at the same time, you talk about education, you say, man, we came from a long way. Yeah, we used to be slaves, all right? A lot of black people used to be slaves. After slavery, a lot of black people were not as educated. And then you look at it now. Look at black folks in schools today. Most children that go to school today are below reading level in their grade. They're illiterate. If you look at the numbers and you look at their reading levels, math levels, all of the above, they're considered to be illiterate. And that's like 70% of the kids in the school right now. And you think they're coming out and they're brilliant. No, some of them are probably illiterate. And so when we came from slavery, we started to integrate. Maybe there was truth to the fact that black people couldn't be quarterbacks as much as they are today. Maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe it's not all racist. However, look at black people now. We got how many quarterbacks? A third of the league has starting black quarterbacks. A third of the league. If you look at the population of the United States of America, black people make up 13% of the population. If you want to be fair and equitable, there should only be 13% of the quarterbacks starting in the NFL should be black. Oh, no, you want to go to the other positions? The gentleman was talking about defensive backs. There ain't a white defensive back. Whittle. I think Whittle. And then there was Seahorn. That's two of them. Maybe it's another one that came from Penn State just recently. He ran a 4.3 and a 40. Three of them. The NFL is saturated with black people. It is discriminating against white people. The NFL is racist against white people. They can only be coaches in the NFL because they can't get on the field. Number one draft pick, overall draft pick last year. Who was it? It probably was a white guy. But anyway, most of the time, it's talented black men who are dominating in the NBA and NFL and track and field. And you want to go down the list. It's funny, though. We want equal representation in the movie industry, but somehow we don't want equal representation on the football field. Maybe black people aren't pursuing the movie industry like white people are. Maybe black people are pursuing playing wide receiver and not quarterback. Have you ever thought of that before? Do you not understand that? Let me just say this. If you ever looked at football, you say, why are the white guys on the offensive line and the black guys on the defensive line? Why is that the case? Now we see a tremendous amount of black people on the offensive line because they realize athleticism on the offensive line it can combat somebody running off the end, running a 4.4 and a 40. But if you look, Trayvon Walker was number one. Who's Trayvon Walker? What position did he play? Oh, yeah, Trayvon Walker was number one overall? Edge rusher. Oh, my God. I don't even think I've ever seen an edge rusher number one draft pick overall. But, I mean, he was one of, like, five dudes from the defensive line on Georgia to go in the first round, probably. But long story short, let me just make this point. when you look at black players, they typically pick positions and they're geared towards positions that are require higher athleticism. The quarterback in the NFL is sitting in the pocket majority of the time. Who is the most prolific quarterback in NFL history? Tom Brady. He can't run to save Jesus Christ. So that's the position of a quarterback. So why would a black man that run a 4.3 and a 40 be sitting in the pocket when he can make millions of dollars being a wide receiver or being a cornerback or being a running back? And if you're a guy 6'7", it doesn't matter if you can throw the ball. If you can run, you're going to play tight end. If you 6'8", you know, or you, what the guy? If you just say you 6'5", and you 300 pounds, you can move. You're going to play nose tackle. You're not going to play center. Because if you, the more athletic you are on the defensive line is the more havoc you cause against offense. So black people tend to play certain positions on the football field. But, you know, the people who are SJWs want to say, oh, it's all about racism. They don't believe a black man can play quarterback and all this other stuff. I mean, come on, man. There's been a plenty amount of black people playing in the NFL. How many of them are Tom Brady?
I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. Make him money. Come on. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Come on, man.
I love that clip. Come on, man. You're making money. Shut the front door. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying. You know, people just love to make it. I've been around white people long enough, I think, because I'm around white people majority of the time now that I'm a little bit older. I feel like white people don't care about these things as much as black people think they do. You know, it's like the NFL scouts. They think that these NFL scouts are looking at talent and saying, I don't think a black man can do this job because he's black. like they're not even looking at his film. They're not talking to his coaches. They're saying a black man is not smart enough to play in the NFL as an NFL quarterback. And that dude won the Heisman Trophy in college. They're not saying that. Jamarcus Russell was a flop, and they picked him number one overall. He was a flop. You think they were saying, oh, well, the black man can't read. It's just that I just, man, let me look at it like this. I got 1 minute to talk about this. It just bothers me. I do not think white people are really that concerned about race like black people think they are. I think some are, but the majority don't care. It's just the matter of fact is that sometimes black people aren't as qualified as they think they are, and they expect to get special treatment. Maybe, you know, when you look at certain positions and certain jobs, you cannot go into a job speaking Ebonics and think they're going to think you are as qualified as a person speaking proper English. You can't come in there with dreadlocks hanging down and your hair nappy and somebody with a clean cut and you think they're going to think of y'all equally. It's not that you're black or white. It's that this is a preferable look. It's clean cut. The person is neat. They're speaking the English language. Okay. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is. This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The Officer Tatum Show. I got so many people calling in. I'm trying to get the people who are on subject. We were talking about the whole Mary thing and the black community and how I just don't get it. The gentleman called in and made a point to say, you know, it's not the kids' fault. And I'm not blaming the kids. I mean, no rational person thinks it's the kids' fault and they're racist. It's that the parents are setting these kids up for failure. Oh, Mermaid looks like me. You know, it's like, you know, just imagine if the kid said, wow, the mermaid doesn't have a daddy like me. Now, would everybody think that's cute? If the kid says she don't have a daddy, like I don't have a daddy. Wow. Now just imagine if a kid said that, you'd be like, oh my God, that's mortifying that kid is associating that they shouldn't even be thinking like just a kid. We shouldn't be worried about color and all this other stuff. The mermaid ain't even real. You know, it's like a, that's like a boy. That's like if you turn a mermaid into a boy. And then the little boy sits in front of the TV and say, wow, the mermaid is a boy like me. You know, it's like, what are you even talking about? Why are they even making a mermaid a boy? Y'all tripping. Don't worry about what it's genders and sex and stuff. You should be just watching the cartoon and enjoying it. Why is a kid thinking about color? I'm telling you, man, I never in my life thought about the color of any character, ever. Even though they were white, I never thought about white and black or nothing. I just thought of the character. That's what I saw. I saw the Little Mermaid. That was Little Mermaid. I saw this character. That was this character. It didn't make any sense for them to not be black, you know what I mean, or white or whatever. They were just who they were. If they were black, it'd be weird. It's like, why are they black? I thought the mermaid was, you know, I thought the mermaid was this mermaid. Why are they now a black person with dreadlocks? Anyway, let me get to some of the callers. I want to go with Faye out of ATL. Welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
If you remember, I was the one that called and mentioned that reparations ought to be paid by the Confederates. Oh,
yes, ma'am, I remember. I thought that was the one of the most amazing comments I've ever heard.
Well, on to your point about the young ladies, black girls, who notice the color, what you're doing, you're training them to look for color in everything. They'll be the ones who complain because they'll count how many baristas there are working at Starbucks. Everything will be about race because you're starting them early to just look at color, not at ability. And mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to say was that a lot of things we consider to be racist are not. We have only ourselves to be responsible for. Parents who want their children to be athletes and athletes have high expectations. They set high expectations. Those parents don't care if their kids can read. They just want them to make the NFL. That's the high expectations they set for their ability or how they play on that football field. Those parents would get upset, and those people would get upset because Rush Limbaugh made a comment about a black quarterback being a token, and all hell broke loose. But those same black folks didn't get upset when they called Condoleezza Rice and Uncle Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Or when Joe Biden said, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. They don't care about that. But you hit something else. And it's because we set low expectations for excellence in reading and writing. So it doesn't matter if we learn how to do that. But if we can sing, oh, we're going to be like Beyonce. If we can throw a ball, oh, we're going to be like Tom Brady. But when it comes to the other things that are important, we don't set high expectations. We used to. I'm 71, just like the other caller. We used to have high expectations before, quote, integration. But we never integrated, because integration means you take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and you put it together, and you make something new. We desegregated. It was illegal, say the law, you know, to say you can't go to that white school. So we got to send you over there to that white school. But all you did was desegregate it. Nothing from your culture or your school or your teachers were brought into that school. So you never integrated. You desegregated. Right. So we lost ourselves, and those white teachers had the expectations because they were made to believe that we had to go there because our schools were inferior. And we started believing that. And we lowered our expectations for that. That's why we had to have affirmative action. That's why black folks are the ones who want them to stop standardized testing, because you see, as black people, we can't score high on tests. And as black people, we can't get an ID. Black people should have been upset about that, but they weren't. They were pushing that. So it's like we set low expectations for ourselves. So it's all our fault. White people will set whatever expectations we have for ourselves. Football players, NFL, they go for the best. When you get to that level, they expect the best because they know those black athletes set a high standard for themselves.
Right. Right. Faith,
we don't.
Thank you so much for calling in. God bless you. I just love when I hear you on the radio talking because it is music to my ears. I mean, you got to think, ladies and gentlemen, you know, she said she was in her 70s. You know, I can't say anything more than thank you for keeping it real and telling the truth. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.